So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much once again for your mercies. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence that is already here. Father, we come to pray that you will anoint me afresh. I beseech you, Lord, put the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people that you put upon me, so that, Lord God, all that will be hearing this message today, wherever they may be, all over the face of the earth, here in the auditorium, or listening online, watching online, the Lord, they will all hear this message and be transformed and changed by the same in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, I ask you for mercy. Help me to speak as I should, as an oracle of God, under the covering of my fathers. Lord, we ask that you put the same anointings upon my heart and lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all those who hear me, both those who are here present physically, and those who hear me remotely by electronic means. I pray that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people, to do an eternal, internal work in our hearts and lives and our minds, including mine, so that our wills, Lord God, become more humble, so that our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge of God's word, and our emotions be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And Father, I further ask and pray, as we speak, Lord God, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great and insufficient measure to back these words wherever they are released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men to become doers of the word and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you help me to be concise. Help me, Lord, to be precise, to say nothing that is unnecessary. Bringing forth out of the treasure of your word tonight things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. We give thanks ahead of time, because you will do more than we can ask or think. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We welcome you all in the name of Jesus. First of all, I'd like to apologize. We're starting late today. There have been some challenges, but thank God, God was more than faithful. I want to say thank God for his mercy. We're here to, in our school of the Spirit, to listen to what the Word is saying, what the Lord is saying by the help of the Holy Spirit tonight. So I welcome all of you as you come in. Just take your seat. And those who are listening online, make sure that you don't allow anything to disturb you throughout this entire time. Not because I'm anything special, but because I believe the Word, the Lord has a word for us today. And I think that is a word in season. But let's go to prayer. Let's go to the Word now. We're going to start I've titled it, well, I tried to look for a title, but what came to me was exactly what it's about. And exactly what it's about is the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Wisdom and foolishness. That's the title. I said, Lord, is this what you want? I didn't hear anything, so I just left it like that. So anyway, it took me a while to come to this message because I felt that it was a discourse that really, truly, and in a sense it is, only the fathers of the house have the capacity and the capability to deal with in a very lucid way. However, as I continued to pray, I waited upon the Lord. You know, a little God, when you're waiting upon him and you're saying, God, show me something. And God doesn't answer. I say, okay, God, is this the one? But you know, you don't like it. Yeah. You don't want to go there. I say, God, that's for the Father. No, no. But I kept on waiting and waiting, and time was going and going. And after I said, okay, Lord, I surrender. Whatever you want to say to me, just help me to say it in a way that, you know, the people will be able to understand it. And most important, I will give, you know, the pleasure to our fathers as they also hear it. So I prayed and I received the word, and I believe that I got the go-ahead to speak in this discord. I'm also, as I speak and as I learned, I was writing, I was also learning. So that's how it is many times. I recognize I also could title this The Way of Wisdom and Folly, but I chose to use the words wisdom and foolishness, all right? We will not walk in the way of foolishness in Jesus' name. Our portion is wisdom. So our main text will be taken from the book of Proverbs, primarily from Proverbs chapter 9. We've been reading from this chapter in the past couple of days. And as I was reading it, I was just saying, I was saying, I was saying, And, well, that has become the message that we bring in today. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And then we'll also read from verses 13 to the end. But let's start with Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We say wisdom. Wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has killed her beast. I'm doing it purposely. There's a reason I'm doing that. Amen? She has mingled her wine and hath also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple, means that there are many simple people in the city. Hello? Hello? Whoso is simple, let him. I thought to myself, why not him or her? But anyway, that's how God wrote it. So let's read it as it is. Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Let's now jump to verse 13. There's a lot there I can't get into, but I mean, we're trying to compare two ways, the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness. Amen. Verse 13, are we there? Yes. A foolish woman is clamorous. This is the identity of this person. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Now, that doesn't mean she doesn't know things, but she knows nothing that is important that will cause her to change from foolishness to wisdom. That's what says nothing. Amen? And it says, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Their ways. Their ways. Their ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end of her ways of death. Thank you, Pastor. Go on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. What a devious woman. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. We're going to back up a bit. The first thing that occurred to me here is that in this and the other text too, wisdom is presented or represented as a female. It says, wisdom had built her house. She has hewed out her pillars, killed her, whatever. The first four verses of this Proverbs chapter 9, the pronoun she, pronoun, the she, word she, is used seven times. And the word her is used six times. Now, I got to let you know this. I don't know why I even counted, because I just said, this is much now. So why say something seven times and another word meaning the same thing six times? Now, I can't say that God said this, but it occurred to me, and I will just say it the way it came to me, that I was studying a passage where six is the number of man and seven is the number of perfection. And so for a man to come into wisdom, amen, that's the number seven, this wisdom that is a principal thing, she must go through the way of wisdom that is put in this verses 1 all the way to verse 6. This is the antidote to foolishness, which the other woman, if you notice the other woman there, she too has a she there, but it's not like repetitive in chapter 9, verses 1 all the way to verse 6. So we see that Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, the number 6 speaks of a human being. So he or she, amen, he or she attains unto wisdom, the principal thing, which is perfection. Amen. So we see again the use of the female gender in the next verse 13 and also, amen. But I asked the Lord, I said, why female? Why not make wisdom a man? Hello? Both, and anyway you look in the Bible, you know, wisdom is always represented by a woman. Always represented by a woman. I said, Lord, why is this? Amen. And I believe the Lord gave me the answer. I mean, we again, it's subject to father's interpretation, but I believe the female gender was used to depict divine wisdom, not the wisdom of the world that is foolishness, to signify the beauty and the comeliness or the attractiveness of God's wisdom to those who discover and then seek after her with all their hearts. There's no other way, I think. I mean, for that to go on and mention she, her, and do it over is a signal. Seven plus six. That's 13 times in one, three, four verses. It means that God is showing us that she is attractive. Wisdom is attractive. She is beautiful. She is comeliness. All those who seek after her and embrace her will come into a relationship of wisdom, of the wisdom of God and understanding of God. Amen? So as you come to divine wisdom and begin to seek after the treasures of wisdom, Bible says the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you will never, ever, ever again want to leave her again. Amen? Amen? We're talking about wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, I believe. Again, we talk about wisdom there. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Chapter 4, let's see, verse 5. Now, this is what God is telling us to do concerning the wisdom of God. This is not the wisdom of man. This is not the one you learn in tech school. This is the only way you can get this wisdom is from God through his word. So it's not a wisdom that's on the surface. Amen? God hides it. And God makes it available only to true seekers. Because there are many people that read the Bible and don't get anything. I mean, the world is... The churches of the world are replete with people who read the scriptures and don't get the wisdom of God there. Rather, they get what their heart wants to receive. We know that happens. But that is not for us here. So let's read Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 5. Note again, he uses the woman, the female. Let's see. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Now, verse 5 says, forget it. That it there is in italics. Your Bible, I don't know if it's my Bible, it's in size. Which means that it's an addition, not originally in the text. So it was just added there for convenience. So wisdom is not an it. Wisdom is a she. Amen? Which we have to say, forget it, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, let's go back to verse 6. Gets back to who wisdom really is. Forsake her, not. And shall what? Love. And, can you see what I'm saying? It's a repeated thing throughout the scripture. Wisdom is repeated as she, which means that God is God is wooing the church with his wisdom. Wooing the church with a woman, quote unquote, in letters, called wisdom. Come to me. I'm attractive. I have benefits. I have wisdom. I have knowledge. I have understanding. Amen. By me, princes rule. Kings decree justice. Glory to God. Anyway, let's continue. So it says, verse 7, wisdom, let's read it together. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get understanding. Now, here we go again. We're talking about the female again. Exalt her. Exalt her. Which means make her the highest purpose in your life of Christianity. Exalt means beyond every other thing, higher than every other thing, which means he's talking about wisdom. So God himself is the wisdom. So to exalt wisdom means to exalt God in your life, because God is wisdom, and the wisdom of God is what we need to, you know, fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. It says exalt wisdom. And she, again, the pronoun is a female, she shall promote thee. How many people want promotion? Hello? Promotion in Christ, promotion in God, is by the wisdom of God. Without wisdom, you will not remain earthbound in Jesus' name. Amen? Say, promote her. She shall promote him. She shall bring thee to honor, but only on one condition. When thou dost embrace her. God is speaking, folks. Amen? She'll give an ornament. She will give you, yes, this is where I'm going, verse 9. She'll give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory. Shall she, wisdom, deliver to you. And to me. Let me add myself too. Amen? So this is the essence of wisdom. Now, I know all of us want this ornament of grace. And all of us want this crown of... In fact, that's the manifestation of the sons of God right now. Amen? But it's by wisdom. Amen? So, brethren, this is the promise of divine wisdom, not the wisdom of the world. There is a wisdom that is from God, and as we all know or should know, there is a wisdom of the world. I wrote here Proverbs 8:12. Let's look at it in Amplified. I don't know what it says. Give me Proverbs 8:12 in the Amplified. Hallelujah. Yes. Wisdom No. Okay, eye wisdom. Sorry, I was looking for the eye. Forgive me. Eye wisdom from or wisdom of God. It's more like more appropriate. Make prudence my dwelling, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Knowledge and discretion. Those are the two things that the church needs most nowadays. There's a dearth of knowledge, and it's pervasive, sad to say. But we need this knowledge. And also not just knowledge for knowledge's sake, but discretion. What does discretion do? Discretion teaches you how to use that knowledge. Discretion tells you this is the way to go, walk in it. This is not the way to go, don't go there. We must be discreet. It's not, you don't hit people on the head even when you have the wisdom. Hello? There are a lot of people that do that. Sadly, there are a lot of places where it just hits you and hits you and hits you. And after a while, you know, you just become, God forbid, a bad person. No, you will not become. But they just become responsive or unresponsive. And the God that is trying to reach them is prevented from reaching them because a person lacked wisdom. A person lacked wisdom. But this is not what we are for. It says, she wisdom, verse 9. I'm sorry, where are we now? Excuse me, where did I was reading from Proverbs 4, verse 9. Yes, let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 9. It says, exalt you, shall promote thee, shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9 says, she shall give to thy head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver. That word deliver speaks to me, which means that, it's not instantaneous. You know, when a person delivers something, he has to, first of all, have the product, one. Then he has to go around looking for your house. There's an address. And it takes him some time to get from where he picks up the product and gets to your address. All that time he's looking for you. He has a product. But he's got to find and locate you in the appointed place of your meeting. If you are not there, he cannot deliver. Thank you. The ravens will drop the meat. Where are you? Where were you? Praise God there. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. Amen? Amen! So, brethren, this is the promise that divine wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, gives. Amen? I wisdom dwell with prudence. That's the ESV. Shrewdness. And find out the knowledge of which inventions. Amen? So, by mercy and grace, the grace of God, the body of Christ, as it begins to manifest this glory, imminently manifest the glory, will astound this world with divine wisdom and knowledge, with knowledge of which inventions, all kinds of wonderful things that the whole world will be confounded and see. You know, when you look at the world now, you think you've seen it all. I mean, AI is there blasting away all kinds of wonderful things are happening, you know, things are being discovered practically on a daily basis. You say, ha, a little wambe, you know. But this is just the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg. Amen? I was reading somewhere and they said that the oceans of the earth, the oceans of the earth reveal only about one third of what is on the surface. I mean, what is in the earth. In other words, two thirds of what God created is underwater. And believe me, when I saw online, I said, wow. Somebody now said, what's the highest mountain in the world? You turn around Mount Everest, and you turn it around upside down. It will not even reach the first one third of what is under there. That's the Mount Everest. Yet, it doesn't even reach one third of the depth. Anyway, but what I'm trying to get, the Bible talks about the treasures of the deep. Let me say, things that God has hidden. They haven't even discovered it. They haven't even, eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. None has even entered into their hearts. The things that God has. The Bible talks about the treasures of the deep that lieth underneath. That's what is reserved. All that is reserved for the people who come to this divine wisdom. And we're not too far out, folks. We're not too far out. You see that as we come closer. Let me continue. Ah, Lord have mercy. So, we see that wisdom of God is depicted in these verses by the female gender to satisfy or to signify, rather, the attractiveness and the beauty and the desirabilities of wisdom and the glorious, wonderful gifts that wisdom will give to the person who seeks her early and find her. If you don't seek early, you know, thank God for good morning Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a clap for good morning Jesus. Amen. Seek wisdom early and you'll find her. Amen. Let's now look at Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 8. And we go to verse 11. Glory be to God. Proverbs 8, verse 11. Wisdom is a very vast topic. Why is that so? Wisdom is God. God is wisdom. Is the wisdom? Christ, the wisdom of God. Verse 11. Said, for wisdom, I love this. Wisdom is what? Better than rubies. And all the things, nothing left out. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In other words, who compares wisdom to a big house or a car? Can you imagine? What God forbid? What an insult. Wisdom of God. I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of the world. We're talking about God's wisdom. Or say, by my wisdom, I have done this, I have done that, when God didn't do it. Who is the person that will compare the wisdom of God to an aeroplane, private jet? All that is normal. Now, God can give you some wisdom. You can attain it. But that's not the result of wisdom. That's the result of God's mercy and favor upon your life through his goodness. Sometimes to people that don't even deserve it. Why? So by the goodness of God, God will lead some of those people to repentance. True repentance now. Amen? That's what God's trying to do. So when you make an effort and you know, the worst thing your person can say is, by my wisdom, I have excelled. By my ways, I mean, whatever you are able to do is the goodness of the Lord, is the mercy of God, is the wisdom I was giving you to be better than your mate, to be able to achieve what you have been able to achieve. If that mate also submits to that degree, God will give him the wisdom too. God is not partial. He's not partial. Wisdom is for everybody who seeks it. And the Bible says in this particular verse where it really says, verse, when you seek wisdom early, you shall find me. That's the second time we've made a reference to seeking it early. But let's continue. It says in verse 13, yes, verse 12, verse 13, I wisdom dwell with prudence, Father. Verse 13 said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, the evil way and the fraud mouth. The counselor's mind, talk about wisdom. Sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me, wisdom. Kings reign. Princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. And even all the judges and nobles, I love them that love me and those that seek me. These early things, I think it's the third time I'm saying early. Seek me early. Good morning, Jesus. Seek me early. Shall what? Find me. I love them that love me. Riches and honor with me. Yea, durable riches. Durable riches means that their riches are not durable. That's why I said durable. Now, this one will not go. This one will not quit. These riches are forever, as long as you desire them. And righteousness. Notice that riches come with righteousness. Hello? You know, these are things that people, I don't know, many people don't think about, even Christians. Why link riches? No, sorry. Again, durable riches. I'm sorry. Durable riches to righteousness. Righteousness, that's right doing in the will of God. So what makes you durable? When you do righteousness, then the riches that God gives you or makes available to you, allows you to get, they are durable. They stay. They don't go away. Riches make wings and they what? Mercy Lord. So my fruit is better than gold. Instead of gold, chase wisdom. And my, my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment that I may cause. How many of you want to love wisdom here? It says, I may cause them that love me to inherit substance and to fill their treasures. Glory to God. Amen. I want to thank God again for the foresight of the Father's house to prepare that platform. Good morning, Jesus. I don't know about you, but without that, I can say guaranteed that I would not be, by the grace of God, where I am today. I would not be there. I don't want to go but that platform, by the grace of God, held me and caused me to see beyond what was happening physically and see into the heavens where Christ dwells, where everything with him Is here an amen? No matter how bad things are, no matter how crumbling your circumstances are, look up. So that's where your salvation comes from. And as the strength of that program, that early morning waking up and the covering of the Father's house, that's what has lifted me. And it continues to lift me. And I give all the glory to God. I give thanks to God. And I also thank my Father. Daily finding him. Early. But not only finding him, but with all that he represents. Riches with honor and with righteousness. What a great privilege. Amen? I thought you'd be clapping by now. Anyway. Wisdom. Now. Okay, I wrote here verse 19. Let's see what verse 19 says. Wisdom says, my fruit is better than gold. Yeah, than fine. You know, there's gold and then there's fine gold. God is great too. You don't just want to go for gold. You don't say go for gold. No. Go for fine gold. You know the kind of gold I'm talking about? The one that is transparent. The streets of heaven are paved with it. Transparent. Real gold. There's nothing. You know what makes it untransparent? The impurities. When there's no impurity, then you have fine gold where it is transparent. Let me say translucent. It's like it's not there, but it's pure gold. No infirmities, no impurities. Amen? Fine gold. Oh, glory to God. Better than gold, fine gold, or choice silver. That I might cause them that love me. Me there is not the gold or the silver. It's the wisdom. Thank you, Pastor Jay. That I might cause those that love me, not gold, not silver, but the righteousness of wisdom, to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. Amen. Let's stop there because there's so much in that, but let's just leave it there. Amen. God is not against his people profiting. No, let's get that out of the way. Amen. Bible says, it says, 3 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But there's a little caveat there. Excuse me. It says there's a caveat there, even as thy soul prospereth. So it takes a soul developed fully into the character of love and in God's wisdom to handle what is coming, the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word, God's wisdom and power that's about to break forth. Amen? That wealth is not just physical. That wealth is spiritual, primarily so. God is going to pour out this upon his emerging perfect Zion church that's about to be revealed in the earth today. Amen? So that's wisdom. That's wisdom that comes from God. And it's poured out upon the woman which is a type of the church. Amen? But there's another woman. Oh, glory to God. God, it had such a wonderful balance. There's another woman mentioned in the scripture who is also, incidentally, seated in high places. Hello? Let's see, where is that now? Yes, the way of wisdom. Another woman, also seated in high places, who is also calling out to the people passing by. Hello? Again, God uses a woman. That usually a woman is not by chance. I've now discovered that. It's signifying that to some people, this woman, who is sitting on a high place of the city, who is calling out to passers by, is also attractive to those who do not know the real wisdom, to those who not desire or who know and not desire or think that the real wisdom of God is too expensive. There's always a counterfeit that the devil provides. This one is signifying the attraction of this kind of wisdom that she's giving. Amen? It says, according to the sons of men. Let's read it. Verse 13 of Proverbs chapter 9. The subtitle of this one is called The Way of Folly. The subtitle of the one we read earlier is called The Way of Wisdom. So wisdom is being compared with foolishness. And look what it says, verse 13. It says what? A foolish woman. Beware of the foolish woman. No? And it's not a literal woman, so say it can be, but it's not a literal. Anything that entices against your wisdom, causing you to go the simple way, cause you not to seek the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from God, is this woman. Thank you, Pastor. The two of the knowledge of good and evil. Thank you. Very good. Amen. So this is a woman. Let's read what she's like. Verse 13. Excuse me. A foolish woman is clamorous. Everything about her is in turmoil. Clamor. She wants this. She wants that. She thinks this. She doesn't know how to keep quiet. She's always shouting, screaming out of her voice. Look what she's saying. She said, let me finish her attributes first of all. I'll see what she's saying later. So she's clamorous. She's simple. She's not, what's the opposite of simple? She's not accomplished in the things divine. Bible talks about, you know, the same, somebody in the Proverbs says, that one is simple. He knoweth nothing. Nothing scripture, spiritual, only the physical that she can eat, hear, taste, and whack. Foolish. And she knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house. The question is, what will you be doing at the door of her house? Remember that young man, the foolish man, who went in a deep black night? It was a very opportune night to go visiting. No lights. Just by the way, you know, the devil was just guiding him. He didn't even know where he was going. He was just walking from one avenue, one. And then he said, you know what he said? He said, that woman, she said she has been waiting for him. She knew her prayer was coming. Caught him. So I've waited. This day I prepared. How did she know he was going to prepare my bed with myrrh and aloes? How did she know that fool was coming? What do you call it? Synchrony. Synchrony. For a young man devoid of wisdom. Mercy, Lord. Where are we now? So this woman is clamorous. She's very loud. Her voice is the one you hear the most in the morning. Simple. No discernment. Just like the boy, the guy that I met him. See, a man without discernment. No decorum. A young man devoid of wisdom says, knoweth nothing. She also, like wisdom, is seated in the high places of the city. God is a great God. You know, God did not say, take the lower place. Because God recognizes that you have a choice. Every human being has a choice. You can choose. It says, choose this day whom thou wilt serve. So God allows the wisdom he has to be there at the top place of the city, crying out. And also allows the foolish wisdom, the loud, no decorum, simple wisdom that knoweth nothing and can achieve nothing, also to have a platform. And it's you that's going to have to make the choice. Hello? Let me add myself to. All of us have to make that choice. And it's not a choice once in a while. It's on a daily basis. Yay? What am I talking about? An hourly basis. Because wisdom is profitable to direct. That means there must be a wisdom at every juncture in your life that will direct you go this way, do you go that way? Do you say this, or do you say that, or do you say nothing at all? Wisdom. There's a wisdom for every activity, every incident, everything you want to do. God has a word for you. But this one is foolish and clamorous, amen? And then this young man, devoid of wisdom, falls into a trap. So she comes and she comes to the high places to entice those who are simple, who lack wisdom. That is a principal thing. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. The riches. This one, as I said, is spiritual, amen? Although they're physical equivalent, but she's basically spiritual. And a particular type of person is her target. The simpleton. God forgive us for simplicity in Jesus' name. We'll not be simple. It says, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 16. I wrote that here. What is it? Says, this is what she says in 15, verse 15. Says, to call her passengers who go right on their ways. They're actually on their way, but not on his way. That's the problem. Whose way are we going? Are you doing it your way? Or the way revealed to you by the Spirit? His way. You have a choice. And it's not a choice you make once. You have to make it continually. Because in every single day, there's a crossroad of wisdom and foolishness in every activity. It's a constant choice. You have to decide for wisdom all the time, as much as God helps you. And if you do your praying well and you do your seeking God when you pray, God will show you wisdom if you ask. That's something we all need to learn to do, folks. Thank you. He that like I said, God gives you wisdom without upbraiding. Thank you, Pastor Drew. So this simpleton, when the man calls, says, let him turn hither. And as for him that wanteth understand. Now, this is her placard, or what is her advertisement. Look at it. She says to him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Why in the world would you want to steal water? Bible says he gives you water of life to drink without any lack. Come and drink of the water of life. But you want to drink stolen water. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Yes, the Bible says, I laid a table before you in the presence of you, and you can eat to your heart's. But it says you come here and eat secret bread. But verse 18 says, but he knoweth not that the dead. Now, the dead doesn't mean the guy is physically dead. But he's approaching that because he's spiritually dead, cannot discern. And all her guests that have visited her before are in the depths of hell. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Stolen water that's sweet. How in the world would anybody be deceived by that? Somebody comes to you and says, you want water? Let me give you stolen water. And then you now say, yeah, that's what I want. God forbid. I love the Bible. The Bible is so graphic. It paints that picture so vividly. When it paints it so, you can't forget it. Stolen water. So the simpleton is not something we should covet. And it cannot be remedied once this woman. Well, the foolish woman offered it. He took it. Amen. He took it. Bread and water. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Yes. Wisdom also offers bread. The bread of life. The written word. Where's that now? It was in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17. Let's go there quickly. Thank you, Jesus. No, so verse 9 says, verse 5, sorry. I wrote the wrong script. Say, come and eat. This is wisdom, proper wisdom. The wisdom that is from God. Say, come and eat of my bread. That's the word of God. The bread of life. And drink of the wine. What's that wine? Revelation knowledge. You know, thank you. You eat that. Where did I get that from? When you want to eat the bread, you dip that bread, the word of God, in revelation knowledge. And you eat it. Same thing when we do communion, bread and wine. Amen? Revelation knowledge. Come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have. Forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. Folks, I think the message is clear. The wine of revelation knowledge makes the simple become wise. Foolishness helps you not to go in the way of foolishness, but to go in the way of understanding. But look at the end result of the foolish person. Oh, have mercy, Lord. We will not be foolish in Jesus' name. The person who patronizes the foolish woman, verse 17, I think I wrote it there, yes. It says, stolen waters, I think I read it. Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret. The essence of this woman that is foolish is that it must be done in secret. It's not open. It's not revealed in the beauty of the light of the word of God. It's something that you have to do surreptitiously. When people start to do things surreptitiously, they're already saying that they're not drinking from God. They're not eating the wisdom of God. Because God never does anything surreptitiously. Everything he does is reproved by light. Light reveals everything. So you will see everything. When you go to church and say, look, don't do that. We don't do that. Or you go to a place where they're trying to get you to do something, maybe sign something. Then you get to the place to see you are the only person there. I don't know, there are all kinds of examples. But what I'm trying to say is, anything that is done in darkness, anything, is not of God. He that walketh in the light as he is in the light. Everything must be revealed. Everything must be open, transparent before the God with whom we have to do. So this is the thing, say, walk in darkness. Say, bread eaten in darkness. It says the dead are there. Dead spiritually and eventually physically. These are the ones who patron. Now, all this is good. Now, why is this important? Let me just start to wind down. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why is all this important? Very, very simple. We're in a season when God is bringing to fullness the release of his perfect church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the first fruits will abide, but we're not going to be the only ones. But he's releasing the church from the sin nature, the soul, and the body of the perfect church that has been building and building and building and raising up and is now about to be revealed. And God is, I believe, through this. Because like I said, God, give me another. This wisdom one. I mean, it's not, it's for fathers now. God said, go and talk about wisdom. I said, neither I'm talking to, I need the wisdom. He said, just obey me. So I decided to obey. So saying that this is the key to everything that he's going, that's going to be doing in his church in this end time. Wisdom is the principal thing. And whatever you get with all thy getting, get wisdom, get understanding. By wisdom is a house building. By understanding is established. And by knowledge, now the what, not just ordinary knowledge, but the knowledge of God, knowledge of which invention, knowledge of prudence, knowledge of all the things that God is teaching. So all the chambers we fill with all manner of precious and pleasant riches. But the beginning is wisdom. Wisdom of God. And we're in that season now. God is about to manifest the perfect church. That season of Jubilee began about the year 1995. Pastor has been telling that for quite a while now. Onwards, when the revelation and experience of cleansing perfection. Thank God we're all here and Papa Ralph came and, you know, subsequent years after the pastor began to break down the issue of perfection and fullness of Christ. We were all here. We saw, we heard, and I trust that as many of us as did so are practicing. If you're not practicing, please go to the website. Everything is on the website. That website is awesome. Folks, I don't know about you, but I think some of us, by the grace of God, made up our minds that it doesn't matter what it takes. We're getting that perfection, that fullness of Christ. What are you living for? What is it to buy a house? You buy a house who? Which is it, car? Guys, day now. What is the most thing, the thing you want most in your life right now? To be like God. And it's available to everybody by wisdom. He's shown you how to do it. He's told you the way. He's shown you the way. He has demonstrated to you the way. So what more? God came down from heaven and said, hey, guys, I'm here to show you how to get to where I'm going and where I'm going to, I want you all to be. Live this life, perfect life, die to open the gate of the wisdom, revelation, the power of God, the life of God, and everything you need to transit from where we are here to over there where he was, is in glory. And bet you, get you folks, every day the Lord Jesus is praying for us, watching over us in prayer, making sure that everything we need has been provided. Is it wisdom? Is it grace? Is it mercy? Is it the blood that he shed? Folks, we can't fail. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We cannot fail except you lack wisdom. You will not lack wisdom in Jesus' name. Except you deviate from the wisdom of God to the foolishness of that one who says, whoso is simple, let him turn hither. Amen? We're in the season, folks. Back in 1995, we all understand that now in the year 2024, at the end of the, we're always at the end of the season of ingathering. Amen? The ingathering of the fruit of the Spirit and the perfection of the love of God by the wisdom of God that has and is still being revealed in his church, the Zion church. Amen? And as we get more and more of that wisdom, more and more of us are perfecting the love of God and beginning to enter into the experience of cleansing perfection, which is what the, which is the, shall I say, the ground floor, so to speak, to experience the outpouring of the power of God that's about to be made manifest. That's coming this year and next year by the grace of God. We trust that every one of us will strive to enter in. Amen? It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Don't go in at the narrow gate. At the wide gate that leads to destruction. It says, strive, which means there's something you have to keep pressing in. You have to keep pressing in. You have to keep pressing. Yes, opposition will come. But in spite of that opposition, you got all the implements, all the tools in this word. I want to thank God for the teachings of the fathers, and not just the teachings, the example. It's a glorious thing to be in this house. I want to thank the fathers of the house for making it plain for all of us to see. They will tell you that we are not there. No, we're not there yet. We're not there. But we know that the faithfulness of God for all these 40-something, 42 years of ministry, spotless. I was here. I wasn't here for all of it, but I was here for quite a while, 35, I think. Spotless. No sense of iota of discord or anything that might mar, no spot, no blemish, nothing. That is God. That is the person who is rooted and grounded. That is the person who is daily walking in the wisdom of God to bring himself, herself, to perfection. So I want to thank God for the great heritage we have, and to thank God for the privilege to follow after those who, through faith and patience, have inherited and are inheriting all the promises of God. Amen. And I trust if you also believe that with me, you'll also say amen. Amen. Okay, so this is it. So it's imminent, folks. The flood of glory of God and all the signs and wonders and miracles that will lay the foundation of the temple of the perfect church is now imminent. Year 20, so we know from the timeline Pastor shared with us that that's going to start in 2025. Amen. By the grace of God. Beginning maybe this year, the end of this year, I don't know. The tabernacle's this year. But the essence is that here, even at the very doors, some people will enter into that thing this year, by the grace of God. I trust for mercy and grace. I don't know about you, I'll be part of it. Amen? Amen. Oh. By wisdom is a house builded, by understanding it is established, by knowledge of witty inventions and prudence, all the chambers thereof are filled with all manner of precious and pleasant riches. Not talking so much about the riches physical, but the riches of Christ. Amen? So let's look at how. Very simple, very short. Thank you, Jesus. I'm closing now. How? I wrote here, how? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. There's one word, there's missing word there. Effectual, fervent, and there's one other word. Anyway, the essence is, hey, folks, all this we're talking about today is a question of how dedicated and diligent are we in the place of prayer, exercising ourselves in this power of the Spirit, releasing the power of God to overcome all the oppression and all the obstacles in our midst, generating power to be able to walk a flawless life in the wisdom of God. Amen? Thank you. The effectual fervent prayer of a right, that's it, that's what I was doing, of a righteous man avail much. Amen? Effectual, fervent, and then in righteousness, no sense of sin in the house. But the essence is this. That prayer is what's going to thrust us. I should correct myself. That praying in this manner is what has been thrusting us. I remember when we first came in 19, it was just 7 steps. But look what the Lord has done. He's been broken down. He's been refined. The understanding has been given. The light is there. So you're not doing anything in darkness. You're doing it with understanding, with light. So you know what you're doing, and you know what the result is supposed to be. So there's no controversy. And if you're getting results, you press in. If you're not getting results, some people may be in that category, reverse. Lord, what am I doing wrong? Ask, and you'll be given in wisdom. That's why he giveth to all men wisdom, and he does not upbraid. The essence is that he wants you to succeed. He is desirous of your success. That you come to that wisdom that is far above anything else. That is, you cherish it more than rubies or anything else. The wisdom that is from above. Because with that wisdom, you have all things anyway. So, Good morning, Jesus. I said again, every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 7 each day, under the covering of our fathers. Amen. Number two, I really abstain from all appearance of evil. And be conscious at all times where you are, what you are seeing, what you are hearing, what you are being fed. Don't allow yourself to be overcome because of foolishness. It's a foolish man that doesn't know where he is, or that she's in a place that she should not be, or that he or she is hearing or seeing something he or she should not see or hear. That's foolishness. In other words, for you to walk in this wisdom, you'll be in constant 24/7 relationship with God at the thought level. What does that mean? That means you're just praying in tongues. Pastor's taught it. It's not new. Pastor said, just pray in the Spirit a lot. You know how to shuffle the coffee, Father, thank you. You're not praying for anything, but you're just praying for communion. You're praying to have the presence and the power of God surround you, direct you, give you utterance, propel everything you think, say, and do. And it's possible. We see people who are doing it, the Father's doing it. You can't be a pastor a few minutes. Even if he's not talking to you, just say on his breath. And you know that you have to pause a little while. The man is praying. I see it happens when he's like, okay, sir, sorry, sir. You know, when you're talking too much, you just say, pastor, you won't say anything else. Just, his lips just start moving. So you two will take note. But what I'm saying, it's a wonderful privilege. Wonderful privilege. Amen. To see it being played out before you. Amen. And then, I wrote here, I said, it's not everywhere you feel led to that you go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. 1 Corinthians, not Thessalonians. Thank you. Stay from one of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 33. Is there a chapter 15? 23. Is there another? No, is there a 33? Did I get it wrong? Is there a 23 or a 33? I go with it first. Where it says evil communication corrupts good manners. No, okay. All right, where is that? If you can find that, bring it up. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's why I was looking. So, I knew it was there. Be not deceived. Evil communication, that doesn't mean, you know, just calling on your phone or something. The people, the associations, the links, links can be of different levels. There are some that you just know on the surface. But the people who you connect to, people who you fellowship with, people who you hang, like I say in America, people you hang out with, who are the people that you surround yourselves with? Are they people of like mind with you? Or are they people that are calling you aside? Wait, guy, it's not that difficult. God is not a hard taskmaster. Yes, it's in the Bible. God is a God of order, precept, and example, and doing the will of God. He doesn't allow you to stray. Now, it's not hard because he supplies the grace to do it. So his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in all weakness. So the grace is always there. But that you will not do, and you expect that the grace is your fault. No, that won't happen. No, sir. So there's a wisdom, there's a way which we must walk, particularly in this time when the urgency. I said 2024, sir. I said, yes, 2024. 2024 is how many months now? We're in March. So that's what, about 9 months left. 10, 11, 12, about 9 months from now. And it's even before then, because in Tabernacles, which is around October, I don't know what when this year's own is, but it's before the end of the year. So there's going to be a sea change by the grace and mercy of God. This year, folks, are we preparing for it? Are you seeing what God is saying? Are you seeing what the fathers are preaching? Are you walking after their example? These are the things that matter now, folks. Thank God for Nigeria. Nigeria is changing. Oh, my goodness. All these, quote-unquote, distractions have been sent to take us off course, but they were not in Jesus' name. And they wake up in the morning, there's no light all night, and you want to do good morning, Jesus. You have to go and look for a lamp, or your phone is not charged. God forbid. You know, all these trials and temptations. Oh, shaka-taka-taka. What did you say? Birth pangs. The birth pangs of a new nation. Ha, shakata. Oh, Lord, through much tribulation. Through much tribulation. Into the glory. So I'm excited. I'm closing now. I'm very excited. I thank God for the eyes that, you know, they've been prophesying this for a long time. Now, it's come with a lot of package and baggages, but I know that God is a faithful God, and He doesn't speak without fulfilling. So that word, well, the day I discovered it, two things I want to say, and I'm going to close. The day I discovered that word, said from when Pastor Les shared it, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, in the land where the rivers divide. I said, when he mentioned that, I said, Nigeria? It's amazing. This prophecy was hundreds of years ago. And I had to actually steel myself, or I had to go and look it up and pray about it, because it seemed almost impossible at that time, if not more so today. But you know, when I look at it and I say, the person I was talking was standing in Ethiopia. He was looking, he wasn't looking east, because east is rivers, is the ocean. It had to be west. And in West Africa, providentially, as people will say, there's only one country, only one, that the rivers divide, Nigeria. And the river that divides it is the name of the country, Niger area, Nigeria. Done before anybody knew anything about Nigeria. Folks, what am I saying? It's all been laid out. We just follow the plan. Follow them that follow Jesus, and you will get to where we're going. Nigeria's going to be a great country. Someone was sharing with us, why did I say that? Isn't it bad that Ukraine was sending Nigeria grain now? I said, what do you mean? Sir, I want to come and send grain to you now. I said, my brother, chill. That grain is a testimony, in my own understanding, it's a testimony from God. Why Nigeria? Of all the countries that are having problems, why is it Nigeria? Thank you. Pastor Dio said, they're bringing the tithe to the storehouse. When I said, Ukraine? Ukraine is sending, they're in war. They can use that wheat. But on the orders of Ukraine, they're not sent wheat. 25 metric tons. Not a small amount, though. That's a whole shipload. Sorry, 25,000. 25,000. That's a shipload, if not two. Metric tons of grain to Nigeria without Nigeria asking. Erudadam. I said, my brother, don't worry. You are seeing God's endorsement. It is God that... So, you know, what I'm trying to say, folks, is that let's relax. God is in motion. And it's not going to be long. It won't be long till we see that thing. So by wisdom, God is building His house in Nigeria. By understanding, He's establishing it. And by the knowledge of Him, knowledge of His prudence, knowledge of who He is, all the knowledge that He gives us, He's filling all the chambers, all the rooms with precious and pleasant. Nigeria is a great nation going to happen. I want to say, folks, well, just hang in there. Our time of showing has come. By wisdom, God is building this house. By understanding, God is establishing it in divine purpose. And by the knowledge that He gives through wisdom, amen, all the chambers, all of Nigeria. Nigeria is going to be a great fellowship. I'm not saying good. Nigeria is a great nation in the making. I didn't change that confession. Nigeria is a great nation in the making. And we will see the result. I believe every one of us will see and say, Lord, have mercy. Thank you for having mercy on us. Hello, Nigeria. This is Nigeria that everyone despised. Can't make it, can't get up. They don't know the left from the right. Everybody comes here and just steals money and goes away. And I'll get away with it too. I don't know what I mean. They cannot get away with it. You cannot take the patrimony of the people of God and God will not respond. You can't get away with it. Okay. Let's leave that one alone. So this is it, my brother. Wisdom. Amen. I want to say one last thing. Give me, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 17. I was going to talk about Solomon and David, but I don't think it's necessary. Amen? Solomon started well. God gave him everything. Set him up fully to become one of the greatest kings after his father. Greatest kings in Israel. And he said, gave him so many, paid to him twice, so many tokens were given to Solomon. And Solomon started very well. Which means, he was well taught. Which means he was well taught. He started very well. And he prospered for a while until he went to the house of the woman who is clamorous, who is simple, who knows nothing, who has said to him, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither," and he turned there. And him that wanted understanding says, "Who told him that stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant?" But Solomon, alas, because he did not do what the kings of Israel were supposed to do. Every day, they were supposed to read the word. In Bible, give me Deuteronomy chapter 17. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Deuteronomy 17. I think verse 15 or is it 13? Deuteronomy 17. Every day, I'm going to close it. Help me, Lord. I'm shutting down. This is it. This is what God gave them as an eternal statute. Folks, this word has not gone. It's still available. It's still today for anyone who wants to be a king in Israel. "Thou shalt anywise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose." Solomon was chosen. Chosen, called him Jedidiah. "Chosen of the Lord, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Okay, let me leave that. That tells me another thing. Next verse, please. Thank you, Jesus. "But he shall not," now this is where some began to miss it. "He shall not multiply horses to himself." Who's going to multiply horses to him? God. He's not going to lack anything. But it's not his own hand he should take to begin to make himself rich. Which means all the resources he needed for the temple. Who provided it? All the gold that used to be out there was provided by his father and by the gifts of the people of Israel. Amen? He must give him something, but the essence is that it's not his hand. God provided through the avenue of speaking to other people and asking them to donate. So it's not much about this. "He should not, nor cause me to return to Egypt," God forbid, "to the end that he should multiply us. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way." Next verse. This is what he has to do every day. "Neither," God will have mercy upon his people. This was in the scripture. Hello? This is still in the scripture. And yet some people who call themselves men of God deliberately flaunt that. "He shall not multiply wives himself." So his heart turned not away, which is exactly what he did. And that's what destroyed his kingdom. Without God's mercy. "Neither shall he greatly multiply to sell silver and gold." Next verse. "And it shall be when he sits upon the throne." This is the key now. "When he shall sit upon the throne, he shall write him a copy of this law." Now, God didn't say somebody get a scribe to write it for him. "He shall write it himself." Which means, as he's writing, what he's writing, when you write, you're thinking of what you're writing. It begins to register your mind. Amen? "So as he's writing, shall write him a copy of this law." This law in a book out of that which is for the priests and Levites. Next verse. "And it shall be with him." Now he's going to go on his bedside table. It's not something that he'll call for. No wonder the Bible is always on your bedside. "He shall read therein once in a while. When he feels like. When there's problem. All the days of his life." Why? "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. This is where Solomon missed it. We will not miss it all. That's why the Lord had me read it out. I thank God for his mercy and the example again of the pastor, of the fathers of the house. I put verse 12. See what's the next, what does the next verse say? Oh, I'm sorry. I need to read this. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Shekinah. The Lord will have mercy upon us. Solomon started very well, but he finished very poorly. David also started very well. He finished poorly. Now, God in his sovereign mercy, we know that God is a good God. But why not start well and finish well? That's the point we're trying to make today. Wisdom is profitable to direct. With all thy getting, get wisdom. Because it's a principal thing that will lead us to the fullness of our prophetic destiny. May the Lord give us all understanding and help us to walk in the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister Abilene, I don't have a song in my heart. Where is she? If you can find an appropriate song, I'll be very grateful. Shall we all rise, please? Hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
What did you say?
Open the eyes of my heart.
Observe to do according to all that it says. For so shall we prosper in all of our ways and shall have good success. Oh, this book of thy law let it never depart from our mouth. But let our meditate.
Yes, Lord.
Meditate there in day and night, that we may stops up to do according to all that is said. For then shall we prosper in all of our ways and shall have good success.
And we may,
that we may stop them to do.
Thank you, Lord.
According to all that it says, for then shall we prosper in all of our ways and shall have good success.
Father, we are deeply grateful. We want to say thank you for tonight. Please put those words back on. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your great mercies and kindness. Thank you for your love, your sweet presence. Thank you for the covering and the prayers of our fathers. We are so grateful. We take absolutely nothing for granted, Lord. It's not by might, nor by power, by your Spirit. It's not of him that willeth or runneth, but you who chooses to show us mercy. Lord, we ask you to bless our running, bless our choosing. Help us, Lord, to be wise, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to watch daily at your gates, waiting at the post of your doors, to obtain the favor that comes from finding life. Help us, Lord, in this day to build our house according to your pattern. Lord, hewing out the seven pillars, causing the beast to be killed, the wine of revelation to be mingled with it. Thank you, for because now you say, Lord God, in this day of your showing, you will help us to eat of the bread of your word, and drink of the wine of revelation, to forsake the foolish and to live and go in the way of understanding. We are grateful, Lord. We say our words will not depart from our mouths. By your grace and mercy, we shall meditate therein day and night, that we, under the covering of our fathers, mayest observe to do all that it says according to your ways and will. And therefore, by your mercy and grace, you cause us to prosper all of our ways. Have good success. We thank you, Father, for doing exceeding abundant of all we have asked or can think in this season of your glory, in this day of your wisdom and of your power. Thy kingdom come, Lord, that your will be done in this regard. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, just raise up your hand and just pray for healing and deliverance. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that has gone forth. Thank you, Lord, because that word is spirit and life. And so we come under the covering of the fathers of the house to come to pray for all those who are raising up their hands. If you're raising up your hands, or if you're watching online, simply lift up your hands and touch as best possible the place where you need some healing. Father, we come in the name of Jesus against every hindering force to the fullness of the healing of all these ones who have indicated, Lord, that they want healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, under the covering, Father, we release the power of healing to go forth in their bodies. So that from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, there's a work of healing and restoration done. We say, be healed and behold in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of plague, every spirit of pestilence. We bind every spirit of infirmity, Lord, in their minds, their wills, their physical bodies, their emotions. Lord, we declare a complete and total healing from head to toe for everyone under the sound of our voice, who's listening to this message under the covering of the Father's believing in Jesus' name. Amen. We also pray for deliverance, Father. We cast out and destroy the works of and bind every machination of the enemy that seeks to hinder the fullness, Lord God, of their prophetic, their well-being and healing. We say we deliver you from every onslaught of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirits behind this onslaught, and we declare, we say, peace be still. Jesus' name.